In the name of Jesus, amen. As is our custom here at Faith, the sermon we preach on Confirmation Sunday is also a letter addressed to our catechumens. And if you're wondering what a catechumen is, for the record, it's one who has been catechized. Or, in the words of Matthew, one who has been taught to observe all that our Lord has commanded. Dear Evangeline, Emily, Christian, Sky, Sarah Marie, Anthony, Cassie, and Ian, the Lord Jesus Himself has taught you His Word. And through His Word, He gives you faith. Today, then, is a joyful day when you stand before God and before the Church and confess the faith that Jesus Himself has taught you. The faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. The faith, the scriptures say. Because we are not to have our own private set of beliefs, and we are not to have fellowship with those who do. When it comes to faith, we are to lose our individuality and conform ourselves to hold and confess the faith. The teaching of Scripture, the Word of Jesus. On this joyful day, when you confess the faith and pledge yourselves in faithfulness, it's no coincidence that you also hear the stark words that Jesus spoke to His first disciples. Like you, these disciples had also heard His word and pledged their faithfulness to Him. But on that dark night of His betrayal, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away." Without hesitation, Peter swore that he was different, that he would never fall away. He said emphatically, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the other disciples said the same. At most, only a few hours passed when Judas kissed Jesus, when the mob with swords and clubs laid hands on him, when Peter, with all the other disciples, left Jesus and fled. Why did they flee? These men who were closest to Jesus, these catechumens who had been catechized directly by the Lord. If you've not yet discovered in yourself the reason why they fled, the day is coming when you will. The same weakness that caused Jesus' first confirmation class to forsake Him and flee is the same sinful weakness that dwells in every Christian heart. Dear catechumens, I write this letter to you today, praying that you will remain steadfast in the vows you make this morning, praying that you will always confess the faith that our Lord Jesus teaches in His Word. But I also know that if Jesus' first confirmation class found itself scattered in the darkness, the time will come when you find yourself lost in the darkness as well. The Scriptures don't try to hide this ugly truth. The disciples forsook Jesus and fled. We also read these strange words that a young man followed after Jesus. He was wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. And when the guards seized him, he left the linen cloth behind and ran away naked. Who was this mystery man? Tradition tells us that it was Mark himself, that this is the gospel writer's only his own account of his encounter with Jesus. The Scriptures don't hide the ugly truth. Whether it's Peter rebuking our Lord for speaking of the cross, Whether it's Peter, James, and John falling asleep in the garden, or whether it's Mark running away naked, there's no attempt on the part of these men to hide their failures. Men who had boasted that they would rather die than deny him now left him for dead. He was left alone to walk the way of the cross. Heel and toe, the disciples flew into the darkness. The same feet that our Lord Jesus had stooped down to wash that very night now carried his disciples away. Only our Lord Jesus remained. Heel and toe, he now walked to Calvary. What his disciples did not want to hear is that this is why he had come. Not less than 3 times he had told them that he would suffer, be rejected by his own, and die. Didn't he also say that the shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep? That there is no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his own life for his friends? His disciples wanted him to go another way, but his feet knew no other way than the way that led to the cross. His, the little infant feet in Mary's hands. His, the feet that carried him to the Jordan River to be baptized in our sins. His, the feet that were anointed with perfume and tears, dried with a sinner's hair. His, the feet that carried him to Golgotha, staggering under the load of wood and every sin. Your sin was there too. His, the feet, gored and pierced through with Roman spikes. Behold the feet of God, the bloody and beautiful feet of him who brings good news. For he alone could walk the way of the cross. Though his disciples swore that they would rather die than betray him they did. And if we were to look upon him as he hung upon the cross, we too would see the one whom we have betrayed. How we betray him is no great mystery. Peter denied him 3 times in one night, but we deny him 1,000 times in one day. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual perversion of every kind, murderous thoughts and deeds, greed for what we don't have, little white lies and great big black ones, gossip and grudges. The list goes on. Every sin is a departure from him. But every sin is what our Lord has carried in his flesh for you. Every sin he has carried to the cross, that there he might hang under the wrath of God in your place. There is no sin that he did not bear. When God in his own words says that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, God means that he takes away the sins of the world. When God in his words says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, God means that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all your sin, from every betrayal. The question is this: how do you receive this blood? And how does this blood come to you to cleanse you? Your Lord Jesus himself tells you. He puts his cup to your sin-parched lips and says, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." If you were to ask Jesus, "What is the New Testament he would say, this cup is the New Testament. This cup is my blood shed for you. This cup is my blood that cleanses you from all your sins. If you haven't found this out already, you soon will, dear catechumens, that many Christians have no idea what the New Testament is. And if you asked them, they would give you 100 answers before they pointed you where Jesus himself points you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. It is for you, he says, for your forgiveness. You cannot go back in time. You cannot get to his cross. But in this cup, his cross and passion come to you. One drop of his holy blood is an ocean of absolution. One drop of his holy blood cleanses you from every sin. When you receive his cup for the first time this morning, or when you receive it any other day, you're making a very simple confession, the most important confession of all. With your lips to his cup, you're confessing that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness. And into your lips, Jesus pours his cleansing blood. Dear catechumens, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he said to his disciples, "You will all fall away." And we have. But on that very same night, he gave his cup, the place where we may always return and receive his forgiveness, the New Testament in his blood. The cup of Jesus then marks the spot where all who have betrayed and deserted him might come to be restored. The cup of Jesus marks the spot where the conscience soiled with sin might be cleansed and the weary soul be set free. The cup of Jesus marks the spot where the learned man silences all his exegetical gymnastics and systematic contortions and believes like a little child the words of his Lord. The cup of Jesus marks the spot where you can always find forgiveness, where you can always find your Lord and God. In the name of Jesus, amen.